turn to Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verse 34. Brother Sam said he wouldn't be here tonight. He's watching the Super Bowl. I'm just joking. Brother Sam and Cheryl, I think they had to visit someone's having an upcoming surgery. But Brother Sam's one of those people you can joke with, and he doesn't get mad at you. He'll probably get a kick out. He'll remind me of that statement. Psalm 104, verse 34. Verse 34. We'll read one verse tonight. It says, "My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord." I want to speak for a few moments on the thought, the sweet also sweetens. The sweet also sweetens. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you this evening for this service that we've already enjoyed, the songs this evening that's blessed our hearts as we've been reminded of precious biblical scriptural truths. Now, Lord, this evening, I pray your blessings upon us as we focus our attention again on another portion of your precious word. And may we this evening, as a result of our reflection upon this verse, may we find the dear Lord to be sweeter than ever. And we know that when we see his sweetness, that we're also blessed in the process. So Lord, now would you bless, meet every need that's been shared today, and as far as ever, all the prayer requests, the upcoming procedures and everything involved in the physical needs of our church family. We ask you, Lord, to bless. Now Lord, bless us now together in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 104, the verse we've looked at, the psalmist simply said, "My meditation of him shall be sweet." Now, I would take that to mean he meditates upon the Lord. He thinks, he ponders and thinks upon the Lord, and he finds the meditation of the Lord sweet. I suppose you could probably take this maybe in two or three different ways. I believe that he finds the Lord himself to be sweet, but also as he meditates upon him, the meditation is also sweet. In other words, not only is there sweetness in the one that he adores, that he meditates upon, but in meditating upon the one who is sweet, then that also sweetens him. It's a blessing to him. That's basically how I take that. In other words, we could say tonight that we find pleasure. We find pleasure in meditating on the Lord's character and work. The pleasure comes back to us. The meditation of him is sweet, but sweetening as well. You see what I'm saying? It's sweet, but it's sweetening as well. We're sweetened ourselves as we meditate upon him. We find happiness in thinking of him. It's just like you could take a teaspoon of sugar. You can, the sugar is sweet to the taste. It's sweet to our taste. If we put a teaspoon of sugar in our mouths, it's sweet to our taste, but also that same teaspoon of sugar would be sweetening if we put it in a glass of tea. So it's sweet, but it's also sweetening. Meditation in this day and time is not too popular. I wish it was more popular. Not too many people today ruminate, meditate, ponder, think upon the person and work of Christ. Seems like that it's something that is lost in this day and time. Not a whole lot of reflecting. There's a lot of speed reading, let's say. There's a lot of just going through maybe a passage of scripture, whatever. But to really spend time meditating and reflecting, I'm afraid a whole lot of people really do not do that. It requires the exercise of thought. To meditate, you exercise thought. It's easier to have a thought. Many times, if that thought has been reinforced by, let's say, humor, or reinforced by an illustration. You know, many people, it seemed like, they really appreciate let's say a sermon or a discourse or even conversation, if the conversation is laced with humor. You know, most of us enjoy humor. That's the way God made us. And sometimes even in preaching, I've known people that they can be about half asleep on you, but you say something, add a little humor, then you see people perk up and wake up. So humor, it seemed like, is a, you know, good form of obviously illustrating a message. I heard of a man that was begging one time. This is to give you an example. A man was begging with both of his hands out. And someone that had seen that same beggar on that street many times, he went up to him and asked the man, he said, how come you have both hands out begging? He said, before when I've seen you, you've only had one hand out. And the man, the beggar, told this guy, he said, business is so good. He said, I've opened up another branch. But now meditation is an act of pondering. It's an act of grappling. It's an act of dwelling upon great truth. Many people sometimes avoid a whole lot of thought about a given, let's say, passage of scripture or a given thought because sometimes the thought makes them sad. Sometimes the thought may be convicting. The thought, the pondering, whatever it might be in the Bible, many people avoid certain biblical passages because it's convicting. It drives home something that is missing in a person's life. The psalmist one time said in Psalm 73:16, he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He said it was too painful when I thought to know this. So sometimes pondering and thinking is avoided because it can be painful if one is not living up to the truth of God's word. Some thoughts and ponderings many times can be confusing. There are many things that we don't understand. Sometimes we don't quite get the message clearly. Our grappling doesn't result in much understanding sometimes on certain issues. A guy one time had been out of town, and his friend died. And he missed attending his friend's funeral. So he thought, well, now that he's able, he'll still drive back to the area where his friend lived, and he would at least visit the cemetery site where his friend's body was placed. So he used his phone GPS. And as he drove into the cemetery, the voice on the GPS said, you have arrived at your final destination. Y'all didn't like that, did you? Too late now, I've already said it. No, the point is confusing. Misunderstandings that come. But now, meditation, pondering the Lord, thinking of Him, and His goodness, and dwelling upon Scripture is a peaceful experience. It brings peace. I believe that it gives us peace. It gives us joy when we meditate upon the Lord, when we ponder who He is and what He's done, when we think upon His acts, upon His ways, upon His characters, upon His faithfulness, upon the qualities of His character. It gives us peace. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now think about that. Thou wilt give him perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. So we're sweetened by his peace when we dwell upon him. We receive peace. And meditation, again, that word, many don't like it. We'd much rather just quickly read the Bible. We'd much rather just go through a chapter a day or whatever the case might be and make sure we get the Bible read in a year or 2 years or whatever your discipline of reading might be. The average person would just be content to just read. And it's good to read because anytime you read the Bible, you're exposing yourself to God's Word and the Holy Spirit is still able to work, even if it's nothing more than reading the Word of God. And I believe this about the Bible. I believe if we're reading the Bible, even though we don't understand it many times, since it's the inspired book of God, the Holy Spirit can still use it. He can still use the Word. It's a powerful, supernatural, the inspired Word of God. So reading it, even if you don't understand it, is still worthwhile. You're honoring the Lord by reading it. And you're opening yourself up for the Holy Spirit's direction and guidance and so forth. So I say to you, read it anyway. Even if you don't meditate like you should. But meditation is good to do. He said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. So we can't get away from it. Meditation is a word that many people think only applies to the monks. Those monks, you know, that go in those monasteries and hibernate. And they don't come out. They wear their long robes. They go in those monasteries and they spend countless weeks in monasteries. And they do nothing but meditate. Or maybe it's someone that has signed up for a yoga class. You know, they emphasize meditating in yoga. Sorry about that. I've heard of people who sit around on mats with their legs crossed, looking like zombies. And, you know, they say that it's beneficial. They say it purifies the bodies and minds. They say that it helps to burn karma. I don't even know what karma is, to be honest with you. We Baptist preachers don't spend a lot of time with that word karma. So I don't even know what it means. I guess something good. I'm as an educated man, I'm supposed to know, but I don't really know. Does anybody know what karma means? So, tell me. Go ahead and tell. Anybody know what karma means? Brother John. Oh yeah, you reap what you sow. But I was thinking that karma has a pleasant. I thought Brother John it meant a pleasant. It derives some kind of a pleasant experience when you reach. You know, well, you're right. I'm wrong. I don't really know. It's just I may have had it wrong. But anyway, this thing of meditating, this thing of yoga, is supposed to awaken your soul. And people that do it, they tell me they practice breathing techniques and concentration and then meditation. But my question tonight would be, what are they meditating on? I would think that meditation is no better than the object of meditation. To just meditate, I mean, what's the purpose? It's just like faith. What good is faith if faith doesn't have a sound object? To simply say, I believe. Well, what do you believe? What's the object of our faith? So, and here it says, my meditation of him. Faith is to be anchored in him. We don't trust, faith does not trust faith. We do not place our trust in our faith. We place our trust in the Lord. He is the object of our faith. But the psalmist says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. There are biblical examples of people that went out in the fields and meditated. Jacob's one of Isaac. Isaac, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 24, verse 63, he went out into the fields to meditate. To meditate. And I believe that when Isaac meditated, I believe that Isaac's meditation was focused upon Jehovah God, upon the Lord. That was the one he focused upon. Now, we find in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, thou shalt meditate day and night. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate upon it day and night. So there you have it. Meditating on God's word. Psalm 119, 48 says, I will meditate in thy statutes. That's meditating upon God's word. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And then he went on and says in verse 15 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, he said, meditate upon these things. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. So meditation is no better than its source. We need to become as, and I will make this point, we need to become as familiar, and all of y'all can appreciate what I'm about to say now, we need to become as familiar with meditation as medication. My problem is I'm not too familiar with medication. I don't know the names of all those medicines and pills that sometime I have to take. You go to see a doctor, well, tell me about your pills. I just like to put them all in one category if I possibly could. I just like to say, well, I'll take this one big old pill and it covers everything. But you know how it is. We got all kinds of different pill boxes. That's one of the neat things about growing older. We begin to collect different things, don't we? We begin to collect pill bottles and more pills. You can tell a successful senior saint by how many pills they've got, perhaps. Maybe I'd put it like that. But now pills, medication, what's the value of medication? Medication helps the body, but meditation on the Lord sweetens the soul. Meditating on Him is sweet. We find Him sweet. And then when we find Him sweet, we're sweetened ourselves. Isn't that amazing how that works? We're sweetened ourselves. First thing I would mention this evening is simply this. The sweetness. We find sweetness in His person and work. In His person and work. They're sweet. We need to think about that. Again, we avoid meditation, and it's not good. It'll help us. We are to, you know, the Bible tells us that we are to pray, we're to have faith, but I would think that thoughtfulness needs to precede prayer and faith. So meditation and thoughtfulness and pondering the truth actually prepares the way for other things God tells us to do. It's like this. It's amazing how we plan and meditate upon things pertaining to this life, but yet we minimize meditating on God and His Word and His person. We go on a vacation. We plan. We give thought before we even drive out of the driveway. You prepared to come to church tonight. And this morning, you got up, readied yourself. Finally, you walked out of the door. You got in the vehicle. You cranked it up. And you came on down to Sandy Ridge Road. And here you sit. No one got here tonight without planning, without thought, without preparation. Spurgeon said this. He said that meditation is a medicine in which the raw material of knowledge is converted to best use. You can pull an illustration from the animal kingdom. Animals like the cow will chew their cud. They'll lie down. They will chew their cud or ruminate to digest it. I believe we need to chew more on, meditate more on what we read, the Bible. Meditation is a rumination of the soul. We get nutrition, don't we? When we feed and support the mind or feed and support the body, well, this is how we get nutrition in our soul. By meditate. And specifically on Him. You know, we never go wrong when we make Him as a priority of our meditation. We never go wrong. It's okay to take a doctrine in the Bible and think about it, ponder about it, or take a verse, but we never go wrong when we spend time meditating on Christ. Thinking of the sweetness of His life and work. Think about His goodness. Our meditation of self or our meditation on things turns out sour, don't they? When we think about ourselves or things going on, it turns out to be a sour experience. But when we meditate on Him, it's sweet. We can choose any member of the Trinity to meditate upon and find them all sweet. The Father. Meditate upon the Father. Think about Him, His love, the comfort He gives, His forgiveness, His mercy, and His grace. What about the Holy Spirit? Ponder the Holy Spirit. Think upon the fact of how He quickens or makes alive, of how He convicts, of how He comforts and how He guides, the way He opens up the Scriptures to our understanding, the way He warms our hearts, and the way He causes us to love the Savior. We can meditate upon the Holy Spirit, and I believe we're sweetened by doing that. And then my, oh my, the Son. Oh, it's easy to meditate upon the Son, the precious Lord. Think about His coming to this earth. Think about His sacrifice upon the cross. We find Him sweet, and we find it heartwarming to be able to call Him my beloved. When you read the Song of Solomon, it's almost like you can see the face of the Shunammite lady in the Song of Solomon when she talks about her beloved. She said, I am my beloved's and He's mine. And I believe that when she said that, I believe a smile formed on her face. And I believe that joy registered on her face. Oh, to think about the beloved. He's sweet. When we ponder His sweetness, we are sweetened in the process. I believe this. I believe you'd find a lot more sweet-natured, happy, kind, gracious, upbeat Christians if they meditated more on the sweet Lord. I believe it would change dispositions. I believe it will make us a better Christian. I believe it will show up in our demeanor, in our lifestyle. The more we spend time with Jesus, the more it's going to affect our being able to be pleasing even to one another and to be edifying and uplifting to one another. I think one of the telltale signs of Christians that grow cold and crabby and cranky and unkind, they're not meditating enough on their sweet Lord. I believe that is a point well taken. Then secondly this evening, meditation is not only sweet, meditation of Him is sweet, we find Him sweet, but secondly, it's sweetening. Just like memories. Good memories. You think about some of the good memories of your life. Think about when you were a child or when you were in high school or think about your years of your dating, your friends that you met and knew, the experiences of your life. Think about those sweet memories. Think about your parents. The times you spent in their presence, in their home, the joy and happiness you had, good memories. And when you begin to even think upon those good memories, it's amazing how the attitude even changes. It's a sweetening process, good memories. So you see, you can apply that to the Lord, can't you? But you know, the reason why, the unfortunate point, the reason why many people do not meditate upon Him and find Him sweet is the fact they have no taste for Him to start with. If a person really had a taste for the Lord, then they would meditate more, wouldn't they? He is not sweet to those that do not have a taste for Him. That's why it's important, as a Christian, we guard ourselves against infiltration of the world, of the flesh, and of the devil. We guard ourselves against the influence that can come into our lives that can embitter us. We just need to be on the guard. Things can cause us to lose our taste for the things of God. Our taste for church. Our taste for the Bible. Our taste for spiritual fellowship. Our taste for being around God's people, our taste can be hurt. Wrong influences, wrong company, wrong reading, wrong movies. I mean, many things you could mention. We ought to do everything in our power to make sure our Lord remains sweet to us. And then we keep meditating on Him. Do we have a taste for sweets? Ask yourself that question. I like that it says here, my meditation in Him shall be sweet. That's a good word to use, isn't it? Sweets. Have you noticed that most of us, if we don't like anything else, we like sweets? I mean, what is it that gets most of the attention when we have our church dinners? It's the sweets. Oh, yeah, we tolerate the beans and the potatoes and the meat. We tolerate it. But really, one of the main reasons we're eating the beans and the potatoes and all that is to get to the sweets. And I've seen some of you hogs. You go to the sweet bar, you'll have three or four different kinds of pies or cakes or whatever. I know I've eaten enough with you. I know how some of you all are. And I see the ones right now that's sliding down in the seat. We like those sweets, don't we? I like it that the Bible says sweet. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. Not sour, but sweet. I mean, sweet is something we can understand. It resonates with our thinking. Sweet. We know when something is sweet, don't we? Is He sweet to our taste tonight? Those who are hungry for the sweetness in the Savior will not only taste and see that the Lord is good, but will taste and find Him sweet. The key, again, coming back to the word here, is to meditate, to ponder, to study, to search out the wonderful truths concerning the wonderful Lord. You know that old hymn? Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as He promised, perfect peace and rest. We're sweetened by His perfect peace. We're sweetened by His rest. We're sweetened by His joy. We're sweetened by contentment. That's how you can define sweetness. We find Him sweet, and we're sweetened by that influence ourselves. The meditation of Him is sweet, and we are sweetened in the process. So I've got a simple challenge tonight. Spend more time meditating upon Him. Ponder Him, what He's done, and who He is. And see if that doesn't turn your life around. See if that doesn't affect attitude. See if that doesn't just really impact your life in more ways than one, to dwell upon Him. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His precept doth he meditate day and night. And then the psalmist said, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We're sweetened with strength, with stability. It all falls back on meditating upon Him and His sweetness. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight for this devotional thought in the form of a sermon. Help us, Lord, to not soon forget this precious psalm that we've just read. And Lord, help us all to find Him sweeter. And if we do that, then we will be sweetened ourselves in the process. Dispositions will be sweetened. Our hearts will be sweetened. Our attitude, our language, our communication, our fellowship even will be sweetened more as we find Him sweet. Lord, bless now. I don't know what You might be doing in people's hearts or lives, but I would pray tonight that every person in this building that's just heard this message will ponder the truth of this psalm and maybe even underscore it, maybe read it, maybe keep reading it, and think more upon the importance of meditation upon Him. Lord, may this message be applied. May people not forget this sermon not because of it being a sermon, but because of it being a passage of Scripture, plainly stated. So, Lord, help us now to find Him sweet and to experience the sweetness in the process. Save the lost soul. Their soul needs to be sweet with salvation. But Lord, do what you need to do in hearts and lives tonight in Jesus' name. Amen, brother.